Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Inside Sales Trek SOC. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest, Sheba Wilson. She is out of Turks and Caicos. How are you, Sheba?
I'm great, Rhea. Thank you so much for inviting me. Happy to be here.
No, it's my pleasure. I've interviewed a myriad of people across the Caribbean, but I actually haven't had the pleasure of interviewing anybody from the Turks and Caicos yet. So you are my first, and I'm eager to find out what makes that area such a spectacular area of the Caribbean. But before we get to that, tell me a little bit about you and where you grew up and your history.
Okay, so I was actually born in the Bahamas, in Freeport, Grand Bahama, because at that time, a lot of persons from Turks and Caicos would migrate to the Bahamas for education, and both my parents happened to migrate to the Bahamas from the Turks and Caicos Islands. So I was born in the Bahamas, and then at 4 years old, my family relocated to Turks and Caicos, so I've been in the Turks and Caicos since then, with the exception of periods where I was studying overseas. I work in human resources. I've been in human resources now for the last 10 years. And I work with a luxury hotel brand here in Turks and Caicos, Grace Bay Resorts. In addition to that, I also run a private training and development company that offers leadership development and coaching services. Not just here in Turks and Caicos, but globally, because at this time we're living in a world where everything is accessible. And so I don't limit my services to Turks and Caicos. I'm a mother of four, a widow of 6 years, and I pretty much enjoy reading. I love boating, actually, being an island girl, the water. I just love being on the water, not so much in the water, but on the water. Love to, you know, just experience the breeze and the scenery of being on a boat. So most of the time in our free time as a family, we spend time on the beach or on the boat, and just hanging out with friends. Lots of culinary experiences here. So eating is a big part of everything that we do. So that as well. Love to travel. And, you know, it doesn't matter if it's in the Caribbean or globally. I've been to lots of places in Europe as well as throughout the Caribbean and the United States. And I'm just passionate about developing people and seeing them reach their truest potential. So that's me in a nutshell.
Nice. Well, I mean, you're an island girl. If you're an islander, you've got to love the water. You've got to love the water. Tell me a little bit of the history of Turks and Caicos. What stands out for you as something that those that have never been to the islands should know and should explore and should experience?
So the thing about Turks and Caicos is that there's a genuine warmness from our people. Like, they're just naturally friendly people. And so being here, it's like it doesn't matter if you're from here or you're not from here, because we actually have a very diverse population. So we have people living here from all over the world. And our population itself, our local population, is very small. So we have about 40,000, maybe 42,000 persons living here in total, but we make up maybe about 50% of that population. And so we're a very small country in terms of numbers of people, but we are very, very warm and inviting and friendly people. And so those persons who come to live among us, to work or to visit, we just naturally embrace them. And you'll see the same people everywhere that you go. So you'll work with them, you'll meet them in the grocery store, you'll meet them at a restaurant, you'll meet them on the beach. It's just everybody almost knows everybody because we're just that small, especially on the outer island. So Providenciales is the major tourism hub. It's the point of entry into the Turks and Caicos Islands for international flights. And then there are other inhabited islands. The capital is Grand Turk, where the cruise center is. So those coming in by cruise ship would enter in Grand Turk. And then we have North and Middle Caicos, which we call the breadbasket of the Turks and Caicos, because they have the most fertile soil. And so most of the produce that we grow here in Turks and Caicos comes from those two islands. But I would recommend that anyone coming here would definitely visit the outer islands, not just limited to Providenciales, which is tourism based. And so there's a lot for you to do. as a tourist, but to get a real experience, a real feel of Turks and Caicos, you definitely need to hop over to the other islands. And you can do that by boat as well as by plane. Grand Turk is a 20-minute plane ride from Providenciales. And to get to North and Middle Caicos, it's about a 15-minute boat ride. So it's fairly quick and easy to travel throughout the islands.
Well, you brought up tourism, but prior to tourism, I mean, of course, the Caribbean straight across the board has a very sort of rich history of tourism in more recent times. But for the Turks and Caicos, prior to tourism, what was the economy made up of?
Well, we had the salt industry. So the Bermudans actually started the salt industry here in Turks and Caicos. And the salt islands at that time were Grand Turk, the capital, Salt Key, and South Caicos. And so they have a rich history with Bermudan infrastructure and the salt industry. And you can still see salt, the salinas on those islands. So there's remnants of that era when we produce salt for export. So that was like the dominant industry at that time. And then we also had our fishing industry. So we would export conch and lobster and fish like grouper or snapper to other countries throughout the world. I've actually seen our lobster and conch in supermarkets in the U.S. Those were the other industries. At one point, we had sisal, which is a plant that was used for straw work. So that was also a part of our history in terms of an industry. It's not as popular anymore, but there are some people, especially in North and Middle Caicos, who still earn a living from creating straw products like baskets and handbags, fans, the little face fans. There are so many things that they make with that straw product. So it's still here, but it's not on the scale that it was in those years when we used it as one of our major industries.
Let me ask you, what is the difference? I mean, I assume like many islands, there is sort of the massively touristy areas on the shorelines all around the islands. Mm-hmm. The villages on the inside, what is the difference, do you think, and do you feel and do you see between sort of the very touristy places and those tiny little villages that are really inhabited by those that have inhabited the Turks and Caicos Islands forever?
I think for any country, really, for you to get a full experience of what that country is about and what the way of life of the people is, you need to go into those like little villages. And I'll use Providenciales as an example. It is the tourism hub. And Grace Bay is what's known. It's popular. Everybody, our beaches, everybody talks about Grace Bay because we've been voted number one in the world in terms of beaches so many times. But for tourists coming to Providenciales, there's a settlement called Blue Hills. The beach may not be as pristine as Grace Bay because seaweed sometimes come up to the shoreline. And so it may not look as attractive as the shoreline in Grace Bay. But what you would experience in Blue Hills is the little huts along the shoreline where people are selling very authentic local cuisine, cooked with love. You know, there's a difference between food that is cooked by someone who's putting their heart and their soul in it. And you can, it just tastes different. Right. And so I would recommend that persons coming here would take the time to go into those areas like Blue Hills and just hop from hut to hut, bar to bar. You're going to meet local people. You can learn about the history and the culture of the island simply by having conversations and enjoying cuisine while doing so. And you can also have the experience of the water, because while seaweed sometimes washes off on shore, the water is still pretty pristine. It's just not the Grace Bay experience, but it's definitely worth doing. And there are still a lot of older persons in those communities who know so much about our heritage and our culture. Boat building was really, really big back in the day because a lot of our men left home. They sailed in order to get produce. So what happened is they would take marine products, the fish and the conch and the lobster, and they would trade with other Caribbean countries. like the Bahamas, Haiti, Dominican Republic. And so our men sailed. So they built boats in order for them to take their voyages. And boat building is actually something that's still alive in that community in Blue Hills. So if you come to Turks and Caicos, the only way you would see that is to visit Blue Hills. So as you're driving along the strip in Blue Hills on the main road where the shoreline is, you may actually see men building boats. And you can't experience that in Grace Bay. The only place you can experience that is to drive into Blue Hills.
Well, you brought up something that is very near and dear to my heart, as anybody that watches any show that I ever do knows: food. What is the traditional? What is the, you know, sort of a staple? Say, for example, you know, most families years ago, nowadays not so much, but most families years ago, Sunday dinner would be a big thing that, you know, for myself in Canada anyways, the whole family would get together, we would have Sunday dinner. So for example, a Sunday dinner where the whole family would get to, or Sundays, or any celebration, mm-hmm. Where any, the whole family, what would you expect to see on the table?
So first, I'll start by saying a staple in our food and our diet is what's called grits. And grits is from corn. So I remember going to North Caicos for holidays and actually using a hand mill to grind corn to make grits, right? And on a Sunday morning, what you would have for breakfast would be grits along with fish. So the fish would be fried first and then steamed, what we call steamed, but it's almost like a braising, where you create this broth and this gravy using like onions and peppers, garlic and thyme, and hot peppers. So it's very flavorful. So on a Sunday morning, you would have grits, and it could be just the plain yellow grits, or it would be with like peas. So they would make a peas and grits. Sometimes they would put conch in it, or pork. Pork is a big thing here, pigtails. So, and because, you know, we also had the salt industry, we brined a lot of items in order to preserve them. So pork tails were brined, and then fish, what we call salt fish, or some places you call it codfish. They would brine the fish, and then that would preserve it so that you're able to have it for a longer period of time. So that would be a Sunday morning breakfast. For a Sunday lunch or dinner, a huge feast. Okra is something that's popular here. It's grown in North Caicos, and we do a main okra and rice. So I remember being in Barbados and seeing okra and rice and thinking, oh, I'm going to have okra and rice, but it was not our okra and rice. So it's done a bit differently. So the okra is kind of chopped very finely, and it's kind of fried down with oil until the slime from the okra disappears. So it's a long process. And then they make a rice with that. So they add meats to it, like the conch, salt beef, or pigtail. And then the rice is cooked in that. So very flavorful again. I mean, it's not, I'll be honest with you, it's not the best food if you want to live a healthy lifestyle, because it is filled with a lot of things that may not necessarily be good for us. But this is what a traditional Turks and Caicos meal would be. So you'd have okra and rice, and things like mac and cheese, and plantains are also big. So fried plantains. For meats, it would be like a roast. So you may have a roast beef on a Sunday, and always seafood. So you may have lobster prepared, either grilled, or it could be what we call, it's almost like a Creole lobster, where you shred the pieces of the lobster and you add onions and sweet peppers and garlic and all of that stuff. And you saute that, and it's eaten along with rice and other sides. So those would be some of the things that you would see on menus on a Sunday. Roast pork is also another thing that you may see on a Sunday. And we're big on having multiple meats on Sunday. So if you go to a traditional Turks and Caicos home on a Sunday for dinner, you will probably have about three different types of meat on the menu on a Sunday. So it's a huge feast.
Wow. I think I need to move. Do you know what, though? I mean, comfort world and comfort food the world over. But this is the ironic thing, is that, you know, we always say, oh, this food, you know, this food that we were eating 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years ago, It's so bad for us, according to today's ideas. But we didn't suffer nearly from the amount of heart issues. We didn't suffer nearly from the amount of obesity. We didn't suffer nearly from all of those food-related health concerns when we had this comfort food of 100 years ago, no matter how bad it's been told it is for us nowadays. So it makes you kind of wonder now, you know, what is it about our diet today that, you know, we should, or our lifestyle, maybe, you know?
I think it's more lifestyle.
Yeah.
I think when I consider what life was like back in the day, I remember going to school in South K, because I walked to school every day and I walked home. So a walk to school was like 25 minutes from my house. Yeah. So I was walking 25 minutes to school and 25 minutes home. Today we drive everywhere. And so you're getting less exercise, you're less active. Back in the day, people did gardening, what we called fields. So each home in the Caicos Islands in particular, they would have a backyard garden that they called a field. And while the men are out fishing, the women were working the field. They were tilling the soil. They were planting. They were harvesting. And the children had to participate in that. And so you had a very much more active lifestyle. So even though your diet may have been filled with salt and fats and oils, you actually were way more active than you are today. And I believe the stress level was less because it was a simpler way of life. And so you had more joy, more peace. And now you have the stress of the grind and you're just doing so much and not taking the time to relax and to really rejuvenate. And so I think that's why we're experiencing so many health issues today versus back then.
Well, I think realistically too, diet, no matter where you come from in the world, the traditional diet was based on lifestyle in that area. So for example, you know, I know about saltfish. We didn't have plantains or grits, but we had boiled potatoes and boiled cabbage. My father was a Newfoundlander. So, you know, they were fishing and they were cold pretty much 12 months out of the year. It was really cold. So the kind of food that they ate made up for the fact that they were cold all the time. So every portion of the world, every point in the world has a diet that has been created as a result of what life used to be like. And then there's celebration feasts, like your Sunday feast, because that Sunday was traditionally the day, no matter what religion you believed in, Sunday was a day of rest for most everybody. And so that's when they got together and had the family meals and celebrated being a family. So whatever you had, you brought out and you shared and you ate. So I think today we eat for taste, or we probably eat just for the sake of eating. It's not about getting us through the day or about celebration. It's just that it's become a thing that you do.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Agree.
So tell me, what is like the healthcare system like in Turks and Caicos?
So here in Turks and Caicos, we have two major hospitals, and they're actually managed by InterHealth Canada. So one is in Providence Islands, and the other is on Grand Turk, which is the capital. And those are the more population-dense islands. So two hospitals operate there. And then the smaller islands, they have what we call clinics. So they provide basic services, and then if something major needs to be done, people will fly over or catch the boat over to attend the doctor on the other islands where hospitals are. We provide primary healthcare services locally, and most medical needs can be met here, with the exception of some things that we actually have a program where we would fly people out. So overseas referrals. We have a mandatory health insurance that's managed by the government. So everyone who is employed or self-employed, you pay into this mandatory health insurance, and it's a match by the employee and the employer. And then there's a $10 copay for any health service. So if you go to the hospital and you have to do a general screening, it's $10. If you're doing an x-ray, it's $10. So whatever service you're getting at the hospital, the copay is $10. And then In terms of pharmaceuticals, there's also a copay for pharmaceuticals. So some things are covered under that program, and it's far less cost to the patient. And then some things may not be covered, and you would have to pay for those drugs yourself. But overall, our healthcare system is pretty modern. We do have an oncology unit as well as a dialysis unit at the hospital. So persons who have kidney disease or any form of cancer, they can actually undergo chemotherapy here. They can undergo their dialysis treatments here. A lot of surgeries are done here locally. There's only overseas referrals for things that are not as popular, so the demand is not as great, so we would send overseas for those issues.
So I mean, I can imagine that you're do you have private schools and public schools as well, and
yes, the
education is as well as secondary. Do you have universities and colleges as well?
So yes, we have a whole slew of private schools as well as public schools up to the high school level. And then we also have A-levels accessible here in Turks and Caicos through private institutions. And we have a Turks and Caicos Islands Community College that goes up to the bachelor's level for some areas of study. And then there are a few smaller institutions that offer bachelor's degrees and associate degree programs on island. We also have a scholarship program for Turks and Caicos Islanders. So the government provides funding for overseas study. Depending on your performance at the high school level, you can apply for scholarships. And we've always been big on education. The government has always prioritized spending for education, tertiary education. So we have a lot of Turks and Caicos Islanders who are on government scholarships overseas and studying a number of areas. So the government prioritizes what the study areas are. Tourism, of course, is one of them. Medical, teaching, those are always priority areas. So we are very, very big on educating our people.
You know, one of the biggest things that in a lot of the other islands that I've spoken to people, the ability to retain, you know, the typical chat about brain drain, the ability to retain those students that excel in a certain field that are capable of sort of, you know, taking leaps and bounds above others, having them leave because there's no job opportunities within your borders. Do you have that problem in Turkish?
Yes, actually we do. There are times when we experience a huge brain drain. And then there are times when we have a lot of people returning home. It really depends on what the area of study is. So if it's something that they can't really have a lucrative career opportunity here, most times those students would remain overseas. And then I've seen also where later on they return, whether it's to start their own businesses or whether we've transitioned to a point where we now need those services and they're able to return. We do have quite a huge number of persons that are on work permit in our country. So we import labor for areas that we may not have the skill set locally. But what I'm finding now is a lot of Turks and Caicos Islanders who have invested in their education and who have stayed overseas for a period of time and gotten experience are returning home to be able to take on some of the top positions. And I'll tell you, we're a very matriarchal society. So we have a lot of women in key leadership roles. Our attorney general is a Turks and Caicos Islander. That's a female in leadership. Our deputy governor, another female in leadership. Very recently, we had our first female premier of the Turks and Caicos Islands. So she's not the premier this time, but up to 2020, February, she was premier. So we have a lot of women in leadership positions. The CEO of Fortis, the utility company, is female. So we have quite a lot of females in leadership in our country. So what we find here is that whereas the rest of the world is complaining about not having enough women in leadership, I think our men are starting to feel marginalized because we're dominating in leadership here.
Well, let me ask you, for those that are entrepreneurs, those that, you know, are with the startup spirit, how easy is it to say, you know, move from another country, come over to Turks and Caicos and start up a company and run a business there?
I would say it's fairly easy because I've seen a number of persons who have relocated here and who have started businesses here and gone on to be very successful in those businesses. We do have some categories of businesses that are reserved for Turks and Caicos Islanders. So anyone interested in coming here to start a business, the first thing that they should do is look into which category of business would be reserved so that they're sure coming in that this is an area that I can actually get a business license for. With reserved categories of business, what it simply means is that 51% of the shares in that company has to be by a Turks and Caicos Islander in order to get a business license to operate. And then there are other categories of business that are open to anyone. So it's a lot easier to come in and to get a business license for those categories of businesses. TC Invest, or Invest TCI as it's called now, they are the investment arm in the country. And so persons coming into the country and who are interested in investing or starting businesses here, they would go through Invest TCI, the name changed a few years ago. So you can visit their website, Invest TCI, and you'd be able to find all of the information that you need in terms of what reserve categories are and what categories you would be able to get business licensing for.
Nice. Well, you know what? I mean, I still haven't been to the Caribbean. And
oh, no, you need to visit.
Well, I really want to go because, I'm a bit of a spicy girl. I like my spice. And I don't like spice just for the sake of having spice. I know that, not to say anything about certain countries, but there are some countries that put spice in just for the heat, but not for the flavor. Mm-hmm. But the Caribbean, there is something about the spice with the flavor, and it just kicks it up a notch. And, I'm a bit crazy about Thai food as well. So I really do want to go to the Caribbean and experience, you know, the culinary aspects of it. And everybody that I've spoken to throughout all of the Caribbean have been absolutely amazing, wonderful, open people. So I do hope to make it there one day.
Yeah, I'm going to officially invite you to paradise here in Turks and Caicos Islands. So whenever you're interested, let me know. I do work with a hotel group, so I can assist you with choosing which hotel you want to visit. And we'd be happy to have you here, honestly. So let me know once you're ready.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to provide all of your information below this link, as well as, of course, your hotel information below this link. And if anybody's looking to head over to the Turks and Caicos, Shiva is the woman to get a hold of. I want to say thank you ever so much for your time. It's really been appreciated.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure. And I wish you all the best with Inside Sail Track.
Thank you. Well, we're going to have you back on again in a few months and catch up, I'm sure.
All right. Thank you.
You've been watching another edition of Inside Sail Track SOC. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.